A very good morning, Namibia. Very good morning to you, my dear listeners. Welcome to Eagle FM, and thanks for joining us at this point in time. Thanks for joining us at this very morning, and thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company this morning. Our time is about 1 minute past the hour of eight. It's a pleasure to have you on Eagle FM. And thank you, David, for crossing over the mic to the Ondangwa studio. We're coming to you live, direct from Ondangwa studio. So my name is Mike Oshaveli, and this is Unpacking the Day. So your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economics, finance, and politics. So every week, every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear. We keep it clear here. And always, always, always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect of those Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So good morning. If you're just joining us at this very point, as politician would always love to say, at this juncture, so we welcome you to today's episode of Unpacking the Day. So as usual, at the very beginning of our program, of our show, we start we look at what happened in Africa on this day in Africa, and good morning Africa, and welcome to another segment of on this day in Africa. And today, January the 14th, is a date that has seen some truly pivotal moment on our continent, from revolution that changed the world to acts of resistance, both big and small. Okay, so let's start with the big one. A day that many of you will remember clearly. On this day in 2011, the world watched as Tunisian President Zine El Abidine Ben Ali fled his own country. So fled his own country. For 23 years, he had been in power, but the people had enough. So they took to the street, and they took to the street in a massive number, protesting against corruption, lack of jobs, and the absence of basic freedom. So when Ben Ali fled, it didn't just end his rule. It lit actually the fuse for a wave of change across the region that we now call the Arab Spring, and that was a truly historical day. But let's turn the clock back much further. On this day in 1904, in what is today Namibia, or Land of the Brave. So the Herero people were in the midst of a heroic resistance against German colonial forces. On this specific day, their fight escalated. Significantly. The over Herero warriors attacked and destroyed key German posts at Waldau and Waterberg. So it was a powerful statement, a clear sign that their fight for their land and their freedom was now intensifying. And finally, today, we have a much more sober story to tell. On this day in 1993 in Somalia, a deeply tragic event unfolded. Five women were stoned to death by villagers. Stoned, not killed, not shot. You know, not shot, stoned to death. You know how do you know how much it takes actually to kill somebody with two stones? You know, stoned to death by villagers in a practice justified by a local interpretation of Sharia law. Sharia law, it's Islamic law in some states in Africa and also maybe somewhere in the Middle East. So, yeah. So stoned to death, you know, by the villagers because of this practice by the local interpretation of Sharia law. So now the horrific event drew international concern and shone a harsh light on the issues of gender-based violence. So yeah, and that is your journey through history for today, on this day, on this day in Africa. So welcome, and thanks for joining us. This is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM, and I'm your host, Mike Oshoveli. So thanks for coming. Thanks for joining us. So today is Wednesday, the 14th. What is our thought for the day today? So life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we react to it. You know, life is 10% what happened to us and 90% how we react to life. How we react to it. So this saying means that the events we experience, success, setback, challenges, surprises, whatever, are only a small part of what happened, are only a small part of what shapes our lives. The 10%, and these are often on, and these are often outside our control. So the much larger part, the 90%, comes from how we choose to respond to those events. So now this includes our attitude, decision, mindset, and actions. So our reaction determines whether we grow, feel defeated, figure out solutions, stay positive, or fall into negativity. So in essence, the quote highlights the power of personal choices and perspective. So while we can't always control what life throw at us, we can control how we respond, and those responses have a greater impact on our happiness, resilience, and outcome than the event themselves. So whatever decision you make today or choices you make, make sure that they have a greater impact on your happiness and your resilience to life. So that's our thought for the day. Life is 10% what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. So, and welcome. And if you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day on your favorite station, on your favorite talk radio station, Eagle FM. So, and today is Wednesday, and if you're looking for latest business and economic news, well, get yourself a copy. Get yourself a free copy of the Villagers edition, Wednesday edition is out. So what you need to do is you simply send a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44. And, okay, be sure that you save that number, you know, save that as a contact number. And the Villager is published, you know, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So make sure that, you know, you get your free copy. It's for free. It's for free. And we provide this for you. You get this for free with this amazing stories that actually going to look at today. Today, we're going to look back to some stories that we that are in the villager. So for we, I'm going to talk to our journalist in Kavango, Anakleta Aikera, about the Kavango East schools hit by placement and fees and infrastructure challenges. I'm going to talk to her in a short while what is going on in the Kavango East. So, and that's something also, that's something you can stay tuned for that. It's going to coming up in a very short while. And also, have you ever thought, you know, have you ever, you know, seen a frog? Have you ever seen the frog and think, ah, that's my $200? So we're also going to talk about, you know, yeah, someone else have thought that, and that's what we're going to talk about. It's also a story in today's edition of The Villager. So and other and more other stories that we're going to look at. So make sure that you tune in. There's something really, really interesting that we gonna look into that. So all right, we will be back in a short while. I will be talking to Anakleta to give us what is happening in Kavango East as regarding to the start of school in that region. So stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Omutiha wetekirota guna I matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longe shafa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo, ota ingongote samweni. Anange shafa ya Namibia, omvito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seisa nina omayaguro nirandi soma yoe, yonge shafa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimeneha uu kakombanga nena. Kara omkwa shifareki uimopo yomo programa zetu. Moambo, dengira selma, onarahita tuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, welcome to Eagle FM, and you are tuning in Unpacking the Day. Good morning, Namibia. Welcome. And it is the start of a new school year, but instead of excitement, parents are facing frustration, walking from gate to gate, trying to find placement for their children. Now, schools are overcrowded. Fees are confusing people, are confusing, you know, parents, and some learners are still actually waiting for basic facilities like toilets and running waters. So it's a triple crisis that is leaving many families asking, what now? Now, to help us make sense of it all, we are joined by Anakleta Aikera, our journalist with the Villager newspaper, e-newspaper, who has been on the ground reporting this story, and it's a story in today's edition of The Villager. So good morning, Anakleta, and thank you for being with us.
Good morning, Mike, and to all the Eagle FM listeners.
All right. What does this first week of, let me call it the school week of school chaos, if you like, actually look like on the ground for families and schools in your region?
It really doesn't look good, especially in the Kavango East region, but not for all family members, but to some, the ones that have just started recently looking for replacement for their children and also going from school to school, plus at the same time trying to get stationaries while it's not the time to get stationary because the school have already opened. So schools in the Kavango region are now facing pressure at the start of the academic year as parents are now struggling to find school placement for their children. Overcrowding, infrastructure shortage, and dispute over school development fund contributions. So recently on Monday, the first day of school, we went to Joy Mungungu School, where we found the parents standing outside, even ready to demonstrate to go to the director's office because...
Just the two of them.
Because more than 100 learners were sent back on between Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
They should pay their school development fund or the parents' voluntary fee. Which they refuse to pay, saying that some of them are really, really vulnerable, and the others have, like, for instance, 6 learners at the school already, and for them to pay the amount that was is way too much for them. And others were claiming that education is free, so why would they want to pay for such amount? And as we went to Ndama East, if you still remember, the school that made headline in September said to be operating illegal for 4 years. It was said that the teachers that were previously volunteering to teach there were supposed to be home because now if they tend to come to the school, the government has to pay them because now it has been declined as a public school where government has now taken over. And at the same school, you know, kids were being taught under trees in West sitting on the logs. If you still remember, there's some pictures we shared on the internet, and also we spoke about it on the radio. So the director, Ms. Christine Schulman, said that the school cannot operate if there is no toilets and also water at the same time. So now some of the parents also were moving from one school to another in search of placement opportunity, particularly for placement grades. When I talk about grades, I'm talking about grade 1 and grade 8. This is one of the 2 grades that parents always have to run around and look for a replacement. Now, this situation is worse. Informal men's settlement. When I talk about informal men's settlement, mainly in the Kavango East region, I mean Tumweneni, I'm talking about Ndama, I'm talking about Tuhingireni, and I'm also talking about Sun City. So these are most of the informal men's settlement where more than 10,000 people live, and the places are already overcrowded, and space continue to strain school administration. So some parents whose children have already secure places are refusing now, the ones that have already secure places are refusing to pay the school voluntary development fund. But then there are those that do not have placement that are willing to pay that development fund so that they can get space for the kids. And already you can understand that if now teachers have to take side, the school will be overpopulated. Now, let me tell you a funny thing. Yesterday, when my son came from school, he was telling me, how can we be 63 in a class? Ooh. And I'm asking him, what?
63?
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not going to disclose the school.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you sure you are 63? He's like, Mom, you need to come there. But it's just that teachers knows you then. If you definitely come there, they will all say, we don't want journalists here and stuff. But we are 63 in a class. for the first time in my life, mommy, I have to squeeze myself to find a chair. And I was even told to share a chair with this new boy. And I said, no, I'm not going to share. And I told him, no, perhaps maybe they will look for solution and soon you are going to be divided.
Yeah, no, 6'3", it's quite a lot. The in your story, the education director, Ms. Shilinma, urged parents actually to act earlier. But from your reporting, are parents really hearing that message, or are there other factors at play?
What I've noticed is many of our parents are so ignorant. Mm. We like doing things at the very last minute, and which is also now affecting our children replacement. Instead of you placing your child at a nearby school, now you will be forced to place your child at a far school. So you have now to think about transportation and also think about how safe is it for your child to go to a school that is already far from the house.
Mm.
Now you start now thinking about all these stories that is happening or kidnapping. You might even end up being stressed because we lay down a lot to say, January will come. I'll just go and look for a place anywhere I want. Indefinitely I will get. But forgetting that at least if you start earlier as November, like the director said, it's a good start for a parent to already look for a replacement for your child, especially for the grade one. Mm-hmm. Applications comes out in early, September or sometimes even in August. Now that we have 3 terms, we will know when exactly applications will come out. Unlike now that we are struggling, we do not know when applications are coming out. Unless you read the news or go on internet, that's when you see that a specific school is giving out applications.
Yeah.
But then I also encourage schools to go on radio station and announce this to parents that the application form for this certain school are out. So parents, be aware and please do come. But then if you as a parent hear the message and you do not attend to that, then it means you are ignorant. So you don't need to blame anyone. Or I also feel sometimes we are just too reluctant to say, I know a specific teacher who's teaching at that school, so I would just ask the teacher to help me. But you're putting that teacher in problem as well.
Yeah.
They are already being told not to squeeze kids into a certain class or just to take bribe from parents and take learners into classes, which is totally wrong.
Yeah.
The Namibian government does not want corruption. And as a teacher, if you do that, you are already being corrupt.
Yeah.
So now the director has age parent placement earlier and close to their residential area, warning that last minute application wasn't overcrowded. She also said that no learner should be sent home for failing to pay voluntary school contribution, and say that temporary arrangement is being considered to accommodate the early school that I talk about. Ndama is learners to Ndama South School, while sanitations and water infrastructure are being installed at the school.
Okay. Now, let's talk about the fees. Parents are saying education is free, but schools are asking for contribution. What is the confusion here? What is exactly are these school development fund for?
Okay, like most of the informal men schools or informal men settlement, learners are overcrowded. Believe me, if I was just telling you now a story about my son saying they are 63 in a class.
Yeah.
So what they are trying to do by giving this little fund, the school development fund, is to shift the learners from being 63 in a class, then for them being 40 or 30 to another temporary structure, like the makeshift structures that are mostly seen at all the schools in the Kavango region. Or perhaps maybe also to buy tents, because the director also mentioned one thing that, okay, if the school is overcrowded and we have tents at and the office, we can provide. But when we don't have tents, we can actually take from the school development fund and get extra tent. And then we can at least put them at the school, and some learners can be divided from being 63 to at least 35 or 40, and the rest can go into can shift into another structure. So this is one of the reasons why the schools want to have at least school development. And also one thing parents should understand, it's a volunteering fee. But for me, I personally think I need to pay because reason behind is that to help out with whatever the school is going through. Say, for instance, my son breaks a chair.
Yeah.
Now, where will the school get money to buy a new chair? It will take time.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Government things always take time because it's the procurement process, everything that goes within that line.
Mm.
So at least if there is money in the school development fund, they can at least take the money and replace it with a new chair or a new table.
Mm.
All those things.
And you quoted a parent, Marcelo Kuduma, yeah, who is unemployed and can't pay. What are the school telling these parents when they say they simply don't have the money? When the parents said we don't have the money, what are the school actually telling them?
One of the say that I got at the specific school where I went to, the principal was saying at least a $50, and we are not forcing a parent to pay the $50 right away,
mm-hmm.
but even end of the month or when you have the money, then you can just come and pay the money.
Yeah.
And they also initiated that perhaps if you do not have money, if you have anything, for instance, maybe a chicken at home or whatsoever,
uh-huh.
you can sell it to a neighbor and then you get that money, but it's not forcefully.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you come give to the
school. All right. Now, do you get the sense that the schools are using these fees to turn students away?
Many people, that's what they are quoting, but at the end of the day, every Namibian child deserves to be educated.
Yeah.
And one of the funny parts is that this child have been at the specific school from grade one, and then when now the child is in grade seven, you are trying to turn away this child, but just if own child, or just if you think about it as a teacher, where will this child go to?
Mm.
So saying that perhaps they are using this fee to turn the kids around, not really, but
yeah.
I just feel like the school board members are the ones that are initiating for this type of fee, because they are seeing how schools are becoming depleted and they need changes toward the school. So teachers have nothing to with this.
Yeah.
This is morally on the school boards, the ones that are looking at the school, the ones that are also sitting around with the principal and teachers making decisions, and also parents when they are called to meetings. One thing I also want to say is parents, when we are called to meetings, please let's attend meeting
mm-hmm.
and see what the schools are deciding in those meetings, because this is where most of the things come in. Where they talk about money, where they talk about what they want to change at the school, where they talk about the kids that have been in one class and are overcrowded, how do they need to change these type of things. There are a lot of discussions that goes around or when they are meetings. But now if you are a parent that always misses meeting, at the end of the day when things are being decided, you are not there. This is when you tend to come out and start complaining a lot.
Yeah. And you mentioned Dama East School. This is, this school made headline last year. Mm-hmm. It's now public, which is a good news, but
mm-hmm.
it sounds like the basic are missing. What is the situation there right now?
The situation is very bad because when we talk about Dama East School, this is a school communities have fought for. And as we speak already, 1,400 learners have registered.
Mm.
And the director was also not happy because she had it in her heart to say, when we are going to tell these people to...
There's a quick commercial break and we'll come back to that. Yeah.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, we can go ahead. Yeah.
All right, so when she said that these planners will be moved from Dama East to Ndama South, she was already saying that she's certainly not sure that the parents are going to agree toward this decision, because the learners have been already at the school for 4 years without water and toilets.
Yeah.
But then also the understanding will be very hard, because at first they were told to move from Ndama East to Ndama South because the school was illegal, which they already refused.
Yeah.
And throughout that, there were tents provided for this specific learner. And as we speak right now, the teachers that were teaching their volunteering are supposed to go for an interview. According to the director, the interview does take time. So now the teachers were told to stay at home.
Mm.
And as we speak right now, there were just 4 teachers that were volunteering to come and register the kids. And now if the school has to start as we speak right now, and imagine the learners are more than 1,000, where are we to get now teachers to come and help out with these learners? But she also spoke about there are teachers that want to transfer from other different schools to come to Ndama East. But now we need this interview to be conducted so we see those teachers that were already at the school, whether they are going to be accepted or not. And plus the others now that are still job hunting.
Mm.
So it's really in brackets, I can say this is a difficult situation or a difficult something to deal with, because already there were people that were taking good care of this learner, but now being told to stay at home, it's another depression of things.
Yeah.
And as we speak right now, some of the teachers who are home, parents are already deciding that there is no way that somebody that has built a foundation to be told to sit at home while they have fought for 4 years to get to where they are. Seemingly, they also believe that the kids that they have been teaching have built a relationship with these teachers. But now due to the certain program that came in, that the school is now a public school, they need to be paid. And also at the same time, remember when they were volunteering, they were not paid anything.
Yeah.
But now they need to be paid. So when you go into the system to be paid, you need first to conduct an interview and go through all the government processes before you become now a permanent teacher. So some parents were arguing that now we will not allow other teachers to come and teach at the school. But then if you look at it, the school is no more a private school. It's now a government school. And when government takes over, everything needs to go through processes.
Yeah. But what has been the reaction from parents at the proposal of moving the student to Ndama South? So what has been the reaction of the parents to that proposal?
The parents have already denied the proposal, saying that perhaps maybe they are just playing games, because already they wanted to shift this school to Ndama South. Maybe this is the way they can get the way to take the school to Ndama South. So they refuse to bring their kids to school.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier informal settlements. I just wanted to follow up on that. Are these particular, that they are particularly affected, you know, in informal settlement? What are these areas facing more pressure than others? Why? Why are they facing more pressure than others?
So one of the things I noticed is the reason why they are facing challenges is because these people are a lot, like I said earlier.
Mm-hmm. You're breaking up now. Yeah.
Okay. Like I said, in some informal settlement, you find out that pressures are mounting.
Yeah.
And these people are a lot. They are more than 10,000.
Mm.
And despite them being a lot, they do not have proper services. For instance, proper roads, water, electricity, just the basic needs.
Yeah.
So, and also for them to get to town, they have to walk longer distance. This is why they always come up with initiatives to see how they can help themselves to get to nearby services. And it's not everyone that is having everything that you require. Some of these parents are unemployed. So they believe they can do subsistence farmer within the informal settlement just to sustain them. So some of them are working at least to town, which is a little bit distance. It can be 5 kilometers, 8 kilometers. And they are doing all their best to get to the service and to sustain their families.
Yeah.
And despite having all those challenges, many families don't even care. They are happy where they are.
Yeah.
At least one thing I've noticed is when you have a home, you are a happy person.
Exactly.
But when you do not have a home, you are not happy. And this is where depression hits in.
Yeah.
And you hear stories that a person has committed suicide under a tree because you've been living in the street, walking up and down, trying to have a place that you cannot have it.
Yeah.
It just becomes very difficult.
Yeah. In your opinion, is the government doing enough to address these challenges based on what you have seen?
Shall I be honest?
I want you to be honest. Our listeners want you to be honest.
No.
This is Eagle FM, you know?
No. Yeah. No, you're not. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's why I asked you the question. No, they're not. They're not. Because if they are doing enough, these people are their people. They are, and they are only known when it comes to election time.
Yeah.
But then after that, you know, no services is being brought to them. And how would you understand the term of staying in Rundu town and you don't have water? It does not make sense. So where are these people that comes and make promises to you? And also, if we talk about now, in this world where we are, Rundu is the second developed town from Windhoek.
Yeah.
So why do people not have water? Why do people not have hospitals? Why do people not have clinics nearby? Why do people not have electricity? Why should they still be in the dark and get raped or in the dark and get robbed? But you have a town council that is need to do these better services. Some do not even have proper roads, but they have cars in. Even when it comes to you getting to your house, you need to get stuck 5 times before you reach your house. You can already see this is not fair for their people. Because when we talk about government stepping in, they need to look at which town is the second populated town from the first town. And then all the services needs to come. But with our newly president, things are coming to steady slowly.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that the people that are incompetent are not in offices anymore.
Yeah.
And let's hope for the best because now we have the new councils and all the older councils were out.
Yeah.
So I hope these ones are going to do their best to their ability because I remember laughing about a story that I saw on the news, a tree that was in the middle of the road and just after one of our journalists posted this, the town council decided to go and cut down the tree.
So, yeah, well, the impact that we definitely have on the leaders, it's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So is there a sense, you know, from you, is there a sense that this problem is getting worse year after year, or is this a particular, maybe just
a bad start? Kind of like, well, this is just a bad start this year. Or is there a sense that this problem is actually getting worse year after year?
There is a sense that the problem is getting worse every year, because you find that from the beginning, you know, from the beginning already people start looking for water. That is already a red line. That is a red flag for everybody. And again, if you see parents now walking in the sun looking for replacement for their children, you can already see the year is starting off very hectic and badly.
Yeah.
And for things to change, I feel like maybe leaders have to have continuously meeting where they should act to what they say, not only say things over and over again, but they do not act to what they say. This is one of the things that has affected the town Rundu or Kavango East and West, because most of the leaders here talks and talks and talks, and there's no action being done.
Now, from your perspective as a journalist who has seen this up close, what is the single most urgent action that needs to be taken?
One of the actions that needs to be taken is the people living in informal settlement. The people are suffering. They are really suffering. Even if there is a crime committed, the police cannot reach to the places where they are because there's no road, no road at all, no street, no road, no nothing. And also when it comes to those giving birth at home, it's hard for, I mean, the family to get water unless they have to walk distance to go and get water now to come and wash the baby or the woman that has given birth, so to say. Even the young girls who are now on menstruation, the only way they get access to water is perhaps when they go to school, because for you to get water, you need to walk longer distance. And these are things, some of the stories I've written, some of the stories I've covered, some of the things I know I've seen.
Do you know how funny that is? You know, because you're talking a lack of water and you're sitting just next to the river. Oh my God.
Servants are not being delivered. If you listen to me, I say the leaders here talks and talks and they don't. Definitely no action being taken. Because when you talk about water, a water plant, we have a water plant that was said that perhaps this year everyone is going to have access to the water plant. And just recently, it was reported that one of the pipe burst again. So you don't know what to believe. You don't know what to say.
One thing is that now water doesn't have money, you know. So...
And also at the same time, high bills. People are complaining of paying tons of thousands and thousands of dollars, but still they are not changing. The bills are going from 3 million now.
And the culprit of
never arrested,
who are not paying, are actually the municipalities. You know, it's the government institutions that are not paying. You know, yeah.
And I remember when the minister Sankasa was here, it was a blaming game that they were playing. So for me, it was very funny that elders, leaders are now saying it's Namo Water, it's town council, it's Namo Water. It's like they were playing a song.
Yeah.
So we didn't even know who now to ask, because now the mayor, the CEO are saying... Namwater is the one that is not doing the service. Namwater is saying the town council are the ones that are not providing the bills that they need for them to bring service to the people. So, and then already there is specific boreholes that were supposed to be drilled to the people to provide them with water. And it's been now ever since, because this borehole, we wrote about it in 2023, but now we are in 2026, and the 22 boreholes in Rundu is just a matter of the name to have been said, and the borehole is operational.
Now, Anakleta, before I let you go, What is one thing you hope listeners take away from your story, from the story in today's villages?
Mainly parents, we should be very, very, we should not take education slightly in the economic where we are.
Yeah.
Because if we do that, we are neglecting our children and we are planting a seed that these kids are going to go with, like, this is how people struggle when it comes to educating a Namibian child.
Yeah.
Because the earlier, the better. So we as parents need to step up and look for places for our kids. When you already know that I have a six-year-old child and this child needs to be in school next year.
Yeah.
So wake up from your bed, even if you still want to sleep. Ignore the sleeping part. You still come get it.
Yeah.
Go to a nearby school. Please register your child. And it's the same with the parents that are having their kids in grade 7. The best way is to go at a certain school earlier so that you can get the placement for your child. And also if there is a little fee that has been asked, as parents, we need to sacrifice. That's why we always say, I suffered for 9 months. Yes, you suffered for 9 months, but also sacrifice for 12 months to give something to a specific development fee so that at least the teachers can also be able to buy something for the learners or perhaps to just renovate the school. And some of the schools that you find here in the Kavango East are depleted, but then if we parents can at least give a certain fee, they can be fixed and even a school can be painted. The paint also will look good.
Yeah.
The school would, will look like it's been new.
Anakleta Haikera, journalist for The Villager, e-newspaper. Thank you so much for your time today and for bringing these crucial stories from Kavango East to light. And we appreciate your insight and hope to see some positive changes for the parents and learners of the Kavango East very soon. And thank you for, we thank you for having you. Yeah.
You're welcome, Mike. Thank you.
All right. Okay. That was our journalist for the Villager e-newspaper in the Kavango region, giving us the down the what is happening, giving us what is happening down there in the Kavango East. So, what is your reaction? You want to react to that story, or you want to also tell us? You can also tell us what is happening in other parts of the country when it comes to schools. What is happening? To your region. What is happening in your region? Is there smooth, placement of children? There has been hassles and, challenges like that we're experiencing in Kavango East. So what is like in your region? So what is your experience as a parent, for the placement of your child? Do you find you're experiencing some difficulties, or challenges? For your child and for the schools. There was also stories in the south, where parents actually, very resistant to this, development fund. So what do you think about that? There are a lot of, challenges that maybe we need to discuss. What is your reaction? Our telephone number is 08333 66091. So do come through and have your share, have your contribution.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana nana longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisamwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandisomwa yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende pine meha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konora hitatu imu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, this is the eye and this is Eagle FM. Good morning to you. So we were just speaking to Anna Kleta, our journalist for the Villager, based in Kavango East. So looking at the, you know, the challenges the school in Kavango that are experiencing at this point in time, the overcrowding, fees, you know, parents are confusing about fees, because, well, the government is dead, the school is free. I mean, the school is free. Education is free and there are, developing funds, that are being asked. So, yeah, confusion. Some learners are still waiting, you know, for their basic facilities to be, you know, repaired. Things like toilets and running waters. So, yeah, and the crisis of water in Rundu, still going on. So, yeah, so many other things. What is the situation like in your village? Not in your village, in your village. What is the situation like in your region and in your town or in your village, in your communities? So, give me a call. 08-08-111-08-333-66-091. So you are most welcome to come through. So yeah. What else can I say? So I'm just waiting on you. So give us also your feedback on what is happening in your area. So 08-333-66-091. All right. So, and let's move on. But if you would like to really come through and also comment or give your reaction to the discussion that we have with Anna Kleta, you're most welcome. But let's move a little bit. Let's move forward. Okay. There are other stories also in the Villager that are very interesting. Yeah, this one, I found it very fascinating. Okay. I found it very fascinating. So as I asked you at the very beginning that have you ever looked at frog and thought, that's 200 Namibian dollar right there. You know, have you ever thought of that? But well, one Namibian farmer has, and he's saying we should all be paying attention. So, he's saying we should all be paying attention. I think we have a story. I think there was a story. The story is in our in today's edition of the Villager. Make sure that you subscribe for the Villager. All what you need, you send a WhatsApp message to 081-240-4144. You send your name and your email. So yeah, and you will be receiving the Villager every Monday, every Wednesday, and Friday. So, as I said, so this farmer, this Namibian farmer is telling us that while we are busy looking for jobs in the city, you know, while we're busy looking job for in the city, we are stepping. I mean, we are stepping over a gold mine. We are stepping over a gold mine in our own backyard pond, you know? Eh? So, Momba Diamo, eh? So, and he is talking about frog farming. I think he was on, what is that? The Onghundana Dingi in our sister program also in Oshivambo. So, yeah. So, yeah, and he's talking about frog farming. It's something caught my interest, actually. And this just shows how we are not innovative and how does that? We chat in a box. You know, when people say think out of box, you know, I think this is exactly what it means to think out of box. And it caught me by surprise when I read the story. So the story is, as I said, is in today's edition of The Villager by Lois Shimi. And it's about this researcher and a farmer named, his name is Thomas Kanime. So he's gone from just observing frogs to actually farming them, you know, and he said the timing is actually perfect. Right now, in the rainy season, because it's the best time to start. So, all right, let's get someone who's on the line.
Good morning.
Yes, morning, Dr. Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself, man?
I'm all right, my brother.
Yeah. Will you start farming frogs?
Yeah. We want to.
Yeah.
To know the method which is really...
How it's being done.
Yeah, been done, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, anyway, Mike, I like to engage in with the what you are talking about with the Anacreta.
Yeah.
Yeah, about the school. Yeah, even despite Kabango going through a lot of things.
Yeah.
Kids have been told in the under the tree, so on. They are killing their chair to school.
And this is for years.
They are performing.
This is for years.
They are the performer, especially Kabango West.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
They are still performing, my friends. And then you can talk about it. We can even bring it home here in the window.
Yeah. No. Someone. You just remind me. Someone talked to me yesterday and said, "Man, why are we are being hooked, where we spend so much money in schools here in Windhoek," they said here in Commerce, you know, some of these expensive schools, and they are not
private
even in
school.
Top 20.
Private school, they are not.
So he said, they are not even in top 20s. What are we paying for?
Nowhere to be found, them, my friend. Take you with your day.
Yeah.
Stopping in the top 10.
You see?
Spend in the middle of Katotola.
Yeah, spend. Yeah.
No one wants to send their kids there, but I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is how it life it is, my friend.
Yeah. So, and when you look at the schools that are actually doing well, it's the schools that are in the rural regions, you know?
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Okambati. What is the name? The one we know for Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get it, my friends. I'm telling you, on the party, they said one day in Oshate or Onawa.
Yeah, now the one in Oshate as well, Onawa
secondary. Yeah, school, Onawa is your, but my friends, I don't know. And I don't know what happened to our Imbili. Seriously, it's what I'm saying, Guys, when we have a principal who is performing like this, that time to promote this person to the director. I don't know what is really the principal of Spain are using, what kind of witchcraft is using, but it's working.
Yeah, so...
It is working. And it is a hard time to promote people which need to be promoted.
Yeah.
If the Minister of Education, if they are serious to improve our livelihood of our kids, it's a hard time to give the people who are capable.
Yeah.
You can take that principal to even permanent secretary. Seriously. Come on. Away.
Yeah.
Because if a person is doing it over and over.
Sometimes you have let's say for example, you have actually a good teacher at school and a very, very good teacher. He knows methodology of teaching and all that and how to relate to kids. And then you make him a principal.
he wouldn't be
good at actually being a principal. He was good at being a teacher, but then when you put him up there, you know, sometimes that happened. Yeah. So, but I agree with you. I definitely agree with you. Those people who are performing.
I can't like Namibia, can give it a try.
Yeah.
Seriously. Because I'm telling you, Mike, if you look, how many schools we have? with a good facility. Mm. I will not even talk about the one in up in town. The one who paid, it's a school government, but you are paying more than what, monthly? Yeah. A thousand. But they are not even there in the top 10.
Exactly. Yeah.
No way to be found. But seriously, I'm telling you, it's a hard time also, our government to look to invest where the mouth it is. If Spain is performing, why you cannot upgrade even their soccer field?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a token of appreciation.
Exactly. Some kind of a reward for the work that they do. Yeah.
What I'm saying, my friend, it's a hard time our government to do something. Yeah. Not every time we are just having nice.
And those are very good. When you have some really tangible incentives, it helps actually schools to improve. Because they know that, okay, if we actually do better, the grand prize is actually bigger. It's actually something that changes our schools.
The life of our kids.
Yeah, life of our children. You know, which is actually a very good thing to think about. You have some kind of a competition of a performance. Yeah. Mm.
It's what I'm telling you, Guta. Even though when we used to like write in test, then the teacher come up and say, okay, whoever got even 9 out of 10, I'll give you $10.
Yeah.
My friend, in that class, maybe everybody will be studying.
Mm.
Then maybe the person is going to get less than 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's a competition. I mean, there's a reward.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, and it's what if you start rewarding school like this? I'm telling you. You will see Namibia's. Yeah. You can see that Angwenya is improving also from what? Top from number 5 to 4.
Yeah.
Next year you will find Angwenya is the one topping.
Yeah. There was also, is it Karas? Was it Karas?
Surprise. It's not Karas. I think it's Hardap. Hardap surprised everybody.
Is it Hardap?
From number 12. Yeah. Hardap.
Yeah.
From number 12 to second position.
Yeah. You see? Yeah. That's what you want to see. I remember there was last year, I remember the governor that was there, he called the whole education people, you know, and talked to them. It was even on the news at one point. So you can see you're right. When you're having your leaders that really have a vision and take action, you see the difference. You see the difference.
The worst religion I think is doing most is you guys your son. No.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I really don't know what happened. How did we get to 13 or something like that? You know.
That's the thing.
Yeah, no. I think that's not acceptable. Honestly, not acceptable in Oshana.
No, they're even 14. They're last one.
Oh, we lost.
You guys are the last.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
From 13,
downgrade
to 14.
Yeah. No. Something need to be done. Yeah.
Something need to be done there in Oshana.
Yeah.
But man, I like my Angwenya out there improving. Even his slow step, still fine.
Mm. Yeah, no. That's what we need. Yeah. That's what you need. If you see a progress.
Yeah, because trajectories, if you look at Angwenya. And the Kavango, they are the most really kids are suffering. That imagine a kid who's even 7 years.
Yeah, and
waking up at 5 o'clock.
And Omsati, which is actually doing really
good. Yeah, and Omsati also. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Omsati also. But Angwena mostly is special on that side of Congo, down there. My friend, kids are walking long distance to school. Then you find yourself that there are a lot of teachers looking for what? Place to be placement in for school. I'm wondering now, why, even though we have a lot of business people, where they cannot put man together, even just Jing Iron, to help out to the school, government.
Yeah.
Because, Angwena, we already know that we're doing the mostly.
Yeah.
That we have a lot of people who are benefiting out of the society when it comes to their business.
Yeah.
But they don't pull out back.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a problem. And anyway, you guys were talking about the Vorondere teacher, Benny Vorondere, and then now the Ben Sended. What is this now?
Yeah. No, we're talking. You remember when you mentioned Caras? I'm actually having information here now. This is for the SCAS. You know, this is subsidiary level. Which actually Caras didn't do good. Actually, they are 12. You know, yeah, they are 12. Hardap, yeah. We talked about Hardap, yeah. Hardap,
yeah. Yeah.
What did you ask? What did you ask?
Yeah, the one who is making me say is that the teacher who been volunteering there now is sitting at home, waiting for interview.
Yeah.
Who does that?
Yeah, you know.
Who does that, seriously? Just make these people are, for you, just to come there, look maybe for their qualification. Because remember, these are the people who started the foundation, now you are sending them to stay at home until they wait for interview.
Mm.
Then you are going to bring some teacher from where? Who come and teach that school.
Yeah.
No, it's very sad.
Yeah, no, it is. Really. Mm.
Very much. And I think that director of education in that Kavango, really, in that side of, yeah, in Rundu, I think, if to be honest, Adams, I would just have to voice your what? Common sense and what? To take a reunion from this teacher. We've been volunteering for those years without getting paid. For you, I don't think it's necessary really to be conduct interview, even though we understand, but sometimes a minister of education, they can understand the sort of take a reunion for this teacher.
Yeah.
Just imagine a person has been in that school for many years, then you come with a what interview, then the person didn't come through.
Yeah.
How sad is that?
Yeah, no, it's terrible. Yeah. Mm.
Very much. What I think they are supposed to do is to look into their qualification if the person is very qualified.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no interview supposed to be taking place when I'm volunteering in that company. Just like we are volunteering in that company, at the end of the day, say, okay, wait, we are bringing also some individuals. Mm. But remember, you've been helping this company to establish it to the level where it is. And now, they bring our people outside. Then later on, they start delining. It's what they are doing to the teacher.
Mm.
Which is really is not a good thing at all.
That is not. All right, man. Yeah. Let's see what others have to say, yeah?
Yeah, let me give other people a chance. Thank you, my brother.
Okay, great.
Yeah. What is your reaction? So is your region doing actually well? So Mandume was really proud of his region. It's growing slowly. But they are getting there. They are getting there. So what about your region? You know, 0833-666-091. So you're most welcome to, you know, if you are listening to the interview earlier on and you wanted to react on that, so you're most welcome. Or just talk about education in general, what is your reaction to the results? So you're most welcome to do that. Yeah. So 0833-666-091. But we also talking about some stories in today's edition of The Villager. And, it's a unique story. It's a story that I personally feel that we don't think out of box. Yeah. So, and we're talking about a story of Thomas Kanime, who's we're talking about, who's actually a researcher and a farmer, who actually talking about, you know, frog farming. Okay, it's talking about frog farming. That story you find in today's edition of The Villager. So yeah, and he's gone, as I said, he's gone from just observing the frogs, you know, to actually farming them. And and he's actually, as I was saying earlier, before Mandume comes through, is that, you know, this is the timing. You know, the timing is perfect. We need to do it during the rain season. The rain season is the best time to start this. Now, the reasons why it's the best time is because that's when you find the baby frogs, you know, the tadpoles. So he says you can collect them from the local ponds. you know, and that's your starting stock. You will already have for free. You have this starting stock for free. No need to buy expensive animals. You know, you just get it for free. You know, and now I know, I know what you are actually thinking. Frog farming, you know, frog farming. Yeah. Is that even a thing? Yeah. Apparently it is. And the demand is actually huge. Okay. The demand is huge. Mr. Kanime says, he sells cooked frog for 200 each and uncooked ones for 150. So 150. So people are snapping them up, you know. Are really snapping them up, and that's a serious money for something many of us see for free after a good rain. Yeah, so yeah, that's really interesting. So now how does it work? Okay, so let's go to the most important part. How does it work? It sounds surprisingly simple, really. You dig a pond. But here's the key. It's the key, as a local tip for you to understand this. No, don't just use tap water. You know, he says the best is actually rainwater and tap water mixed, or tap water also. You can also use tap water mixed with sand from an earth dam. Okay. It's about creating, a natural environment. So, and what about the food? So, and this is the best part, you know, this is the best part. You don't need to buy expensive feed. You understand? So during the rains, the frogs eat the tadpoles, you know, you collect the one you have collect. And in their dry season, you just hang up a light bulb over the pond at night. So it attracts insects and the frogs do the rest, you know, free food, you know. So it's that simple. So, and when it's come to growth in just 3 to 4 months, those tiny, tadpoles, are big enough to sell. You know, he's got about 400 frogs now. Can you imagine have 400 frogs in one place? 400 frogs and say his business is just growing. His business is just growing. I can just imagine having 400 frogs in one place. So in the article, we also heard from Sarah Martin. There's a lady called Sarah Martin, a woman from the Oshkoto region. She has been catching and selling frogs for years, and she traveled to town like Ondangwa and sell out, and she sell out every single time. Every time she goes, you know, to this town to sell, she sell out. You know, she's completely doesn't come back home with any frog at all. So the money she makes, you know, especially this time, the money she makes helps buy school supplies for her children. You can see that. So yeah, for her, this is not a new idea. It's for her, it's a lifeline. It's honestly a lifeline. And now she wants to learn how to turn it from seasonal catching into a proper farming. So maybe this is also an opportunity for you. All right. So let's get to the caller. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Yes, morning, bye.
Good morning. Do you want to?
How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Good.
Are you considering farming the frogs?
Yeah, you know, I was listening to the interview of Tete Kanime and Riz.
On Kundana Dengue?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
And it was very impressive.
Yeah.
It's something that issues that are emerging from that we can grasp.
Yeah, no, for me, as I said, this is something that intriguing, because you really never think out of box. This is something what I have to think out of the box. This is a typically thinking out of the box. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now, I know, and we were also talking about it and many, many other viable projects that can be established by ourselves. And Tatekanime is a good resource, is a resourceful person, and there are many. So I think if we really organize ourselves, and sometimes and then you can establish those projects. You know, those are viable ones.
Yeah, very simple to do. I mean, from what we're hearing, yeah.
So it means that it is for us and the many other people who can be able to really organize and plan and organize themselves nicely to at least maybe to source for funding and then get into those kind of projects. So the training to capacitate people to have that knowledge.
Yeah.
The resourceful people are around.
Yeah.
So, honestly, there are a lot of projects that are coming. If, for example, we were talking about the school.
Yeah.
I don't know how much the parents really contribute. So, unlike in we had the education system in Rwanda. Where parents are contributing up to 40%. Maybe no wonder why their education is considered to be of higher quality.
Yeah. Do you know what? So, do you know what, Angobona? You know, I would prefer actually giving, let's say for example, giving 600, you know, and everything is taken care of. The books now. Now the school buy the books. They buy the pen. They buy the stationery. Rather than now, you know, I don't pay anything, and I have to buy all those stuff. You understand? Because that's gonna end up you paying like 2,000 or something like that, depending on how many children do you have. You understand? So, and sometimes, as Anacleta was saying, sometimes imagine really. Schools like saying they are really overcrowded. Sometimes it's depending on the when we're talking about in informal in settlements, these are people flocking from rural areas in search for, you know, for job and things like that. And they found themselves in this situation. And the town is not ready. So that's why you find that it's overcrowded, has no resources and all that. But sometimes as a parent, if you want your child to have a chair, just contribute 100. I mean, how many people drink 100 in a week?
Exactly.
Yeah, 100 in a week. The people might, the person complaining could drink 100 in a week or in 2 days or 3 days, you know?
Yeah.
But to contribute to something that is actually, you know, help your child, you find it difficult to do that. Of course, there are those who don't. Yeah, we also have to take cognizance that there are those who cannot afford seriously.
I think it's just a way of maybe I don't know whether it's our understanding or we just want to think of that dependent theory and all these other things. And this one might not even take us anyway, because at the end of the day, when the child does not perform well, and it will be the parents who is be saying, so let's see how we can make some contribution to invest in our children's education.
Yeah, definitely.
So that will help us in future. Because it must also give us some kind of proud, you know, pride. Yeah. I mean, is it to give you a sense of purpose so that you can at least now congratulate the children, your child, and others when they do well.
Yeah.
So, especially in the rural areas, where children are passing very well. And we have heard of that.
It's one thing that we're talking about, that it's a rural regions that perform better than the city kind of regions, if you like, you know?
Yeah, I think those are some of the issues that we can take it seriously. We can take serious.
Yeah.
So that the education of our children will really become excellent.
Yeah. It's so actually the other thing is to mystify. It's kind of to demystify this kind of belief that a good education is actually in town,
urban areas.
Yeah, in urban areas. So that we need to demystify because it has proven wrong, incorrect, over and over and over. So and start actually imagine if we start actually improving the facilities in the rural areas. You can imagine this is where people don't have even a reliable internet. This is where sometimes they don't even have reliable electricity. So all those kind of things and the performance that they do, you know?
Especially even when the, like as you said, 63 learners in the children in the class.
Yeah.
So, and then you see, we are often talking about that area where wood and all these things were coming from, were harvested. And you have the VTC guys who can come in and do some welding of those chairs.
Yeah.
I think some of these areas, some of these economic activities can be really generated through ourselves.
Mm.
And then the coordination of the schools, where, for example, maybe because you can find there some areas populated by a lot of learners.
Yeah.
Some areas might not have that one, like you say, people migrating and things like that. So, but I think there are also things that we can do.
That's for sure.
If we organize ourselves very well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I really, this is something that personally I believe that if my child goes to a certain school, really, I think I have an obligation to make sure to help that school help my child.
You're right.
Yeah, I cannot just look at the government and say, because the priorities are a lot. Seriously, sometimes we need to, and this is what we're trying to teach here people sometimes to understand the priorities of we're not actually say the government shouldn't do their responsibility
that they need to do.
But it's also to understand that I want my child to do to actually their best chance of succeeding and doing that. It's also for me contributing to that.
Yeah. You know? Thank you, Mike.
All right.
I hope you will be more aware of this issue that we can do.
Yeah, no, definitely. So thanks for coming through.
All the best.
All right.
Yeah, no, that's my strong belief that I have a responsibility for my child, you know, and anything that would help them to do the very best they can do, you know, I would love to contribute to that. So, and as we said, and this is not an excuse for the government, really. It's not kind of to excuse what the government need to do. It's just to say the priorities, you know, the resources can be only, there's no unlimited resources. There's nobody, even country, developed country, don't have unlimited resources. There's always limited resources. Resources are always limited. So, and sometimes to meet all the priorities, certain things, have to, to give away. And that's where you come in sometimes. If you want your child to, to be successful, you have to stretch your hands out as well. All right. So come through, talk about education, talk about result. Talk about challenges. I was talking to Anacleta earlier and talk about some challenges that are found in Kavango East when it comes to education, when it comes to placement, when it comes to fees, when it comes to infrastructure. So what is the situation like in your region? You know, come through. Our telephone number is 08333 66091. We're coming to you live from the Ondangwe studio. And I'm disappointed my region actually done poorly. You know, it has done poorly. What is going on, Oshana? I come here saying the great Oshana, and this is how you repay me? Eh? No. Tapangiru na litalipano up. All right. Tapangiru na litalipano up. Eh? Tanyo komga. Yeah? All right, we're also talking about an article in today's edition of The Villager about the farming frogs. All right? And and how this could be a very lucrative business that one can look at. We're looking at what Mr. The researcher and a farmer has been, you know, telling us what are the things that we need to do. Yeah. So if we break this down, really, first, the opportunity. All right. I think I see this as an opportunity. We have a higher unemployment. Okay. All right. Let's get to the caller.
Very good morning to you.
Yeah, I love the joke, man. I think you're also a comedian.
Which one is that? That's the work for Helmut.
You know, maybe especially when you were with him, with Ateda Rwanda yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I think sometimes you can team up with them and see how we can.
Yeah.
You didn't have a
good one. You won, yeah.
Yeah, so that's Helmut's job. You know, I'm trying my very best. Yeah, so all right. Now, as I said, I see this first as when you look at the story, and please do read the story. Subscribe for the villagers. It's an opportunity. We have a higher unemployment, right? You know, high unemployment. And here's a business with the incredibly low startup cost. Yeah, with a low startup cost, the main ingredient, tadpoles. It's a tadpoles. Okay. I don't know how, I mean, the research has been done. There should be a lot to be done yet. Okay. So, but the tadpoles are available for free for a few months a year. You know, a demand is proven. And the demand is proven. Demand for frogs is proven. Well, unfortunately, I don't eat, you know. For me, the problem with the frog is just, I think since I was small, the color, for the fact that they don't change color, I think, maybe if actually you take off, maybe if you take off the skin and make into small, you know, like you make those small pieces without a skin. I think, and you don't tell me that it's a frog. I would eat anything. For me, I'm not that kind of person that is really, you know, so yeah, and people are already eating and selling frogs. I think this could be a fantastic way for people, especially in our rural areas, to create income. You know, they are doing that already. We're already creating that income. That's an opportunity. Now, for the critical part, let's also look at this more critically, you know, as an opportunity. I mean, on unpacking the day, we're always looking at things more critically. Now, is this sustainable? Now, when you think about it, if 100 of us start now scooping up tadpoles, you know, from every pond, will we damage maybe? Can't we want, how would I put it? Will we damage our local frog population? Because there is the chances we can damage actually the, if it become purely, you know, kind of like take this for farming, you know, we might damage our local frog population. So we need to be careful. We can't let today's opportunity becomes tomorrow's environmental problems. So that's some of the thing. And what about regulations? You know, is there a standard for frog farming? You know, this is a new thing. We have to come up with a standard of frog farming. So for food security, those are important things. And we will look at this. We'll talk about this when coming from after this commercial.
Imba ya rire ombwa nai etepa weda ko ombu nikiro ombe ombi hukusha. Onjiviro yoye irire ombupu o hatane na wina ikare no masa ko murungu wa indu. Wari rongere kusha umune ondengu okura kwe imba. Mona ovi une vya peke ko rondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe. So, tuika ovingi no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva. Olo peresente dano komieze vitatu moshimariva. Olo peresente umurongo komieze hambu umwe moshimariva. Olo peresente umirongo ivari na dano. Pomiedia mulongwa na bivari moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyanu kife. Ashiesho imba te kupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno owe uhaka enina. Itako na wina rishangika jinoni.
Alright, welcome back. Our time is about 30 minutes past the hour of 9. And if you're just joining us, you are on Eagle FM. And we're talking about... we're talking about frog farming, you know, isn't that interesting? You know, you only find it here. That kind of talk, that kind of discussion, you only find it here on Eagle FM. All right. So I was looking and I said, let's get into a little bit, more serious as much as this, and a very, you know, intriguing, or innovative way of creating business, of something that we already have or that is already happening and just maybe expanding it. So what about the regulations? You know, what about the regulation? Is there a standard for frog farming? So I needed to look at that up. You know, maybe there are other countries that are actually doing frog farming. Of course, there are other countries that are probably doing that, you know. And then the other thing is food security. We now become farming in the way we're doing it, which is not anymore natural. It is natural, but you know, there's an element of where we now doing it a little bit differently. Would that have a little bit impact on the quality of the meat or whatever the case may be? Now that food security kind of thing. The article doesn't mention this, but. If we are selling food to the public, we need to ensure it is safe and handled properly. So, we don't want people, you know, we don't want people to make people sick. So, yeah, those are areas that really need serious look into. And Mr. Kanimi is calling on the government also, this which is actually a very good thing. So that is, it's calling on the government and our universities to get involved. To get involved, he wants research and an opportunity to turn this into a formal kind of industry. You know, maybe you never know how much it will contribute to our GDP. to our GDP. So yeah, let's make it an industry. Maybe even for export. Yeah. Yeah. As I said, you never know how much this would actually add to our GDP. When, you know, there are maybe countries that they like frogs so much, you know, and seriously, he has got a point. I do agree. He has got a point. Could Namibia frog meat be the next big delicacy, you know, sent overseas? Yeah? That delicacy we're sending to overseas could be the, you know, meat frog coming from Namibia. Interesting. Very, very interesting. It sounds wild. But so does paying 200 Namibian dirhams for a frog. I didn't even know that. Seriously, maybe it's because I don't eat that. I don't even know that it costs 200. It's even more than a chicken. Whoa, there's a business here, guys. It's even more than a chicken. And that's already happening here. So it's something that is already happening, guys. You know, as he said, you know, sometimes we're just thinking of I want to be employed, I want to be employed. And the business is just right here. It's absolutely right here. No. All right. So what is the takeaway here? So, frog farming, all right? What is the takeaway? Frog farming is, I think it's fascinating. It's a fascinating, a low-cost idea. It's a low-cost idea with real potential. because it's happening already with real potential, with a real, you know, a low cost, idea, which actually with a real potential to put money in people's pocket, you know, because it's already happening. This is already happening. It uses natural resources. There's nothing that, you know, you're not going to buy some artificial feed or whatever. So, yeah, it uses natural resources we have in abundance, and then we have those in abundance during the rain, you know? And it could help families like Sarah, you know? Sarah is an eyewitness to this. It's a testimony, an eyewitness. Eyewitness. Well, what are you doing, Mike? So, it's a testimony. But we need to be smart. That's one thing for sure. We really need to be smart. We need to think about sustainability and safety. That's the most important things. So we need to, you know, to ask ourselves, to ask our leaders to look into this. Yeah, let's look into this, as Uncle Bona said. So let's look into this, not just for fund, not just to fund it, but to create, also to create guidelines so we can protect our environment, because that's very important, while we grow our economy. Okay? So, yeah. So what do you think about, you know, farming frog? The message here is really simple. Very, very, very simple. We need to stop waiting for traditional jobs and start looking at our natural resources with a fresh eyes. That's why I said, this is something when I read it, it's kind of like, someone really, when the concept of thinking out of the box, this is exactly what it is. You know, let's look at our natural resources with fresh eyes. So, it's something that, you know, sometimes we're sitting on the gold mine and we're not just, we said it a little bit. We talked about it this with Naluvanda yesterday, when he comes in. I said, sometime, like when I said, look, the area of Ongwediva, you know, and the village around, it's an area where mango grows very, very easily and very fast, you know. But, you know, as we develop the town, all we're thinking is building houses and do what and all those kind of things. Yeah, so which important people need houses, but sometimes you find that those houses are owned by one person and people are still renting. You understand? So why don't you also thinking, okay, how do we create now? This is also part of then, how do we create job for the youth? Why can't have a certain section of hectares where now we can actually, you know, mango plantation? And we have then a processing plant at the same time where we do mango fruits, mango jam, mango biscuits, mango, whatever, you know, mango sweets, you know? So, yeah, why don't we think in that line? Eh? And this is not something, this, as I said, those, it won't take, you know, like now, I have two, one, two, three. I have three mangoes. Two are already putting on, and how many? It didn't take long actually for them to grow. It doesn't take up much water, you know, mango. So, yeah, you have people. I mean, I'm talking of people who are farmers or who knows how this works. This is just for us, adjusting, you know, taking chances, and it works, and it works. You understand? Yeah. So the message is very clear. So we need to stop waiting for traditional job and start looking at our natural resources with fresh eyes. Okay. And Thomas Kanimi is showing us that innovation, it doesn't always mean fancy technology. Sometimes we have to think that it has to be, you know, there's some kind of fancy technology. Let's use it our resources. Let's use the resources that we have. Yeah. It doesn't mean that. Sometimes it just means a pond, some sand, and a light bulb. That's all what you need. A pond, some sand, and a light bulb. Frogs, you catch them for free. You know? So what do you think, Namibia? So what do you think? Is frog farming the future of our rural economy, you know? Or is it just a seasonal trend? Should we just leave it to a seasonal trend, something that comes, you know, and just seasonally? So my phone lines are open. So you may come through. Or at 333-66091. Or at 333-66091. Hey, ama hali yo mafumi leni tengeni. You know, those who eat frogs, please do call. You know, come through. you must come through. And think, do you think this could be a future of our rural economy? Eh? 0833-66091. So, yeah, come tell me if this is the future of our rural economy. All right. So we'll be back after this.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafaa sana nana longe shifaa yae shiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anange shifaa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seisa nina omayakudo nirandito mwa yoe, yonge shifaa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konora hita tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
So very good morning to you. If you just joining us, you are on Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So good morning. And I'm Mike Koshoveni. We're talking about schools results and the challenges families and schools are experiencing as the school start. We have Anacleta earlier on and talking about the challenges, the fees and infrastructures of in the Kavango East. So we asking what are the challenges that you're experiencing in your region or in your town as you begin a new academic year for your schools and for your region. So do come through. Tell us, let us know what are the issues that you're experiencing. We're also talking about farming, you know, talking about frog farming. So what do you think about that? Very good morning to you.
Yes, sorry to come back, Mike.
It's okay. Yeah, we didn't talk about frogs.
Yeah, I think I can talk about frogs also.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, you know, Mike, ne?
Yeah.
When it comes to frog, I think it's a good thing that somebody is thinking about to use nature.
Yeah.
And for our students, I think it's a hard time also for them to study when it comes to frogs.
Yeah.
Because what I'm saying, so I was watching this Geography Channel.
Yeah.
You know, then I think that the frog is where I think it's either Brazil, Amazon, or somewhere in Asia.
Yeah, no, I did watch that. I also did watch something on frogs. I remember watching it on frogs as well, but I can't remember. Is it Cambodia? I'm also not sure.
Yeah, somewhere.
Yeah, I think it's Cambodia.
What they are using it? They are using as a experiment for what medicine? Taking out from the frog.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of thing they take out, but really, it's treating people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think we, as a Namibian, we have a lot of students. We are
just a minute. Yeah, there will be just quickly. Just it would be for a few seconds. Okay.
Okay. We'll
be back here.
Attention, all aspiring students. The International University of Management is thrilled to announce that late applications for the academic year 2026 are now open and closing on the 20th of February 2026. Whether your passion lies in environmental management and sustainability sciences, health sciences, ICT, business and strategic management, or in education, we have the perfect program waiting for you. And to our future leaders and changemakers, you are not left out. Boost your career with our postgraduate programs or advance your journey through the Graduate School of Business. Study full-time, part-time, or via distance learning. The choice is yours. Your future, your way. For more information, visit www.ium.edu.na or call us at 061-433-6000. That's 061-433-6000. IUM, a Namibian university dedicated to its people's future.
All right. So go ahead then. Yeah.
Yeah. What I was saying is that our students, especially those one who are starting like a biologist to become biologist or just to be in medical field.
Yeah.
I think it's a hard time also to start testing the frog.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to skin. You know, they're having this something like a skin, like a, what, a plastic.
Mm-hmm.
I think that skin is having, because of the pigment or whatever with this. Even you cook it, it seems to look the same.
Yeah, exactly. And that's my problem.
That's why me, I'm also doing it because of those.
Yeah. it's just, the eyes are still look like, the eyes are still looking at you. And,
at you and even now it's like, what happened from home?
Oh. And it's normally, it's not cut, it's cooked like, it's cooked the whole, it's cooked like a whole,
and yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah, it's not like it's cut in pieces. And
no, it's not even like lying on the stomach, lying like a back way, yeah. Like it's still alive.
Ah, it doesn't change, it doesn't change a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I think our students, they need to do much.
Yeah.
But like now, is that thing and also Oshungu. Mopani Worm.
No, that's my favorite, yeah.
Yeah, very fertile when it comes to one, what I think is vitamin C. Yeah, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. I was watching all these things, people out there describing that, you know, we are moving away from the traditional medicine.
Mm.
But these things are helping, especially when you have a kid with a malnutrition.
Yeah.
This Mopani Worm can be pounded like a what? The Nungafoko filler.
Yeah.
The Nungafoko, my friend, a week. That's a week.
Yeah.
That kid, you cannot even lift him up. I'm telling you.
Are you going to?
That's why I'm saying we have people, but our people, I don't know what they're studying. We are just in the Western medicine.
Yeah. No, I think the problem is this, ne? This is the biggest problem is that when we go to university, for example, a university should be an entry of you starting to explore. You understand? You get the basic now. Now you must start actually exploring. You understand? You know?
Yeah.
So what we do is that we go and just collect, we go and memorize what is being taught and go and reproduce what we have been taught. We don't go now and explore. You understand?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
We now think, okay, we got what we got. That's what we're going to produce. Yeah? That's all what we do. But this should be the beginning now where we're looking at, you know, how do I now explore this area, this field, you know, of science or whatever the case may be. And there, as you said, we have all this, but we never use it. We never use it for anything else.
I'm telling you.
Yeah?
We never tried.
Yeah, it's never, nobody comes up with something else. Can we make it, can we make it a powder in which maybe we can make okatete or whatever? Mm. I don't know. Yeah?
Yeah.
It's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, and my friend said, I like the tate. the coffin has started to come up with a farm for frog.
Yeah.
And the people who are interested in like special one. But the my issue is that the way he's going to, he says what? He put a what? A light bulb.
Yeah, you put a light bulb at night, and then, you know, the upukata veikenga. Shingo peifenga ngo atrapusiki. And normally when they are so many, when they wake up in the morning, there will still be some upukana tango around.
Yeah, it's which is true.
Yeah, so
for me, it's a good thing, and I think even government can look into this.
Yeah,
because I'm telling you, things when it comes to our nature. We never exploring the way the Tati come up with the good method of what, just to try to experiment something.
Yeah.
Out of, yeah, because it's waking up our mind, really.
Yeah, it does.
Because we never think of it. I'm telling you, it come, the frog will just come in the season, then they go without us, nothing anywhere. No spinach, I think.
Yeah,
we supposed to be there, but that spinach already, like on BJ, Shashio, I remember, the Indian, I think they even having cans.
You see? Yeah.
Spinach. Yeah. Yatwa nuku mama jenyo shiko feti.
Yeah. Gashon bi dia tungo yo. Kwi turangi nuku. Yeah. Cans and things like that.
Ili make care na ina mama jo feti nukuli. I bought it. I'm telling you.
And how do we, and we don't even collect the seed of those mbi jodo.
Yeah.
Geno no. To drukui kuna nandi hape fimbo lo dula.
Lo dula ngeno? We tiki chalanga. We remember how much money you are going to make it.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, just imagine even like now, there's no, I don't know, I think those guys, they need us to teach us how they get
there. it's just probably the ground.
I think it's hard time for government to start investing in what, how can I put it, indigenous, traditional way of doing things.
Yeah. No, we just need to change the way how we educate our children. Our education system have to change completely.
Yeah, it needs to change. Seriously. Yeah.
It doesn't create the exploring mind. It doesn't create exploring mind. It's only creating. Mm-hmm. We're only looking forward. I think we are coming from that. What is that? That tradition of, you know, get, you remember when we're talking the Tibet? Now you can actually go through Tibet and get qualification.
It was that
the attitude has been seen. We have seen that as a kind of a low level system, you know? When you fail from the professional one, now you can get to this one. So I think we need then, it's the same thing how we look at education in the way that you need to go to school and then be a teacher and become employed.
Yeah.
That's how our mindset is. So we are not actually given that kind of, the mindset. We said, this is opening up your mind.
And remember, I think that now I think we are waking up a bit, but still slow by slow. Because we have a teacher, even a principal who's been teaching for more than what? 45 years.
Yeah.
And this Zimbabwean just come with 2 years. Already having what a kakindaka then later it came to college.
Exactly.
We are retiring just as a normal teacher without creating anything.
Yeah.
Or just a bang for until we are retired.
That's all.
We need to explore our mind, my friend, which kind of thing. You are in the same
We are not creating leaders. We are not creating leaders, we are creating followers. People who are just, we just follow.
We have to be taught.
Yeah.
We just have to be taught like now. You are just, like, I mean, we become a tool when we get educated.
Yeah.
We just become a tool of that. If you're a teacher, you are just a teacher. You are not engaging in another professional. Even though you are fitting that career.
And the other thing is this is something that I always ask, you know, how many doctors that you hear nowadays, many, yeah. many, many doctors that you hear. But you yeah. kind of like, what is that they are coming up with? You know, you just did this, you know, what is that they are being innovative about? You know,
to be called doctor.
Yeah. You know, you are now a doctor. You know, we need you now to be innovative, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. No, we need to. I'm serious. That is waking up our mind. If yeah. it is not, people are supposed to start engaging
yeah.
with him. Seriously.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah. All right, Mike.
No, thanks for coming through.
Sure.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, so the question is, what do you think, Namibia? Is frog farming the future of your our rural economy? We still have about 5 minutes. And guess who walk in? Is that Naluvanda? Naluvanda?
Tati.
Ongula, you are?
Hi, Ongula. Nenyanga mpolo.
Apatu popine okuninga, oku farming o mafuma. Yeah. Lois had did an interview with that Thomas Kanime, and then we have an article. To know article, I more the villager today.
Mm-hmm.
So I just ran down, you know, the article, then just bring out some highlight, some issues, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, and. Yeah, so which I say, we don't think out of box. Think out of the box. Mm-hmm. Out of the box. I think this. Oshimege shitakara tekirileke ma drohailoko mafumokwea. You know, atukwate fimbolo opuo mashuna taashuna tuterela na dango. You know, but then we have somebody who's coming up with that. There is an idea that we can actually have frog consistently. You yeah. know. Kalisari omkalo hakala taterera kucha hatukala taterera omafuma uye pefimboro dula, you know? So, which is really, really, really innovative and being creative. So, something that we looked at. Yeah, and it's good to have some callers coming in saying, yeah, this is a good idea and should be, you know, promoted and funded. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totumbwe kuma shasho mafuma kesho kukaramo mefimbari. Yeah, so nice. O mafumi yali leko shiomea. O research yali po mafumi yali mumea. Yeah. Kashi mo ya duro kuli yako shiomea. Ifo mama mumea yali mo rozali dimo. Ifimboru tara no kuli nari ala mumea alika. Kongo upsho. Yeah, tunane kutunga ngeno ngengo to ningetare. Unane kuli tule kuma. Shashi ngengo watuleke metaro mwena kujamu fikundetai. Oh, so nice. Yeah, unakarawa ninge kuma. Ove kumaro natango unakarawa tulamo mwidi. Ho tekele opo mu upukano yo ari mu diashi be kulia natango yeah the challenge are then oba oshikoma imbyo ponge ali mara ku mara ngo shimange no sha shaturwa mo moshike mo plana ku chae eri tira de oliva na tutare ku chotuno kulironga mu ngai pisa singero ngo shino shi machine ngo na nasikolo da vya bilongereko yo kujana exactly. Yeah. Okwai nga tupo pina tango shina shakuna ngo nyote umoke na tango pungo ndi kupo pro opo uye kuya komisyono programa kuthamosha. Kwa ya tupo piona tango ni ijemo. Yeah, so kumbiga ijemo o toti kongali. Nashito pro hitu shashana. Yeah. Nashilo ngali. Ndamona nakuli governor tajano wakumbo kopra kifanishi mendanua. Ndiye tekucha mkuru nungwa tapo pikonge. Ushia education na etu. Yeah. Oh, I didn't get any. I will keep up with that. That's why I'm not very stressed. Wangwangwana, Kenaria, Kirirokucha.
otoka nana peni.
Mm.
Yeah, o nge, utuna ukara tukwata nawa ilongo shashoko kuno future kwa mongura. Ilongo, akucheko weshite yako yote tako online wae wahala.
Yeah.
Mongule fudole pako mongeri njini mayati wanga, mongeri nya yuka haku yuka haku.
Shima ya tena kule, akupapa kucho kwafa kwepala kushuni wake standard, ha?
Eh, na kushuni wake standard.
Yeah.
O mkarongo utajia, ushibu chasho tahala tuninge ndita tuduru.
Mm.
Tahala kufaundi njini mayatu ndita tuduru, katushe found.
Yeah.
Oshimono peni? Ngeno kwali yake anu mavatetekela mshirongo muna ndatu cha koloni etu ningirane doropa ngeno katu dina.
Yeah.
Tariko epate ditu etapo atiku nyukapwe kama fiku angapi emiri unadia puda pitapo inima. Nalu neilonge ke talongele meumbu, okune umbu.
Yeah.
Mara pe fika penonu talongele. No kambasu ngeno tanyumbwe kukaranda talongele mkwa. Ano, otapumbwa kutala, no kukunongo, no nakakwa ituna kuteapu inima, ndo kwa ketu nakuedako.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Opuna o madiradiroa kucha anu tuna madiradiroa kucha eskolei diri mushi amushi mbeke eskolei diri medolopa oko kunerongoliwa maango hatu taringa shijemo ya jamo kashiko durai duradise jambara fikola dihapu edidiri mo morulara o detati performa nao
obili vayo ya puka uhibu chanu vetu hati ngengu na natata kumo ingrisho welongo elaki aleta puikulia.
Yeah.
Elaki yali druku tunge tungo. Elaka ekwata fano eke mounyoni.
Yeah.
Shepe ife atu dopa koma la kata eke klas. Ke ngudu darandulako.
Yeah.
Upseka juripe ni mbela Michael.
Mm.
Michael uno nava atu chota atakumana watu alandere nye smartphone. Paku diladila, paku create.
Yeah.
Hanyi mbu.
Yeah.
Eskola dinyota didruku performa na washashi. Alongiva mwena tango veri mo. Momilandu, douteku, no momilandu, tukuetaponga ongalo yoku tekulonu.
Mm.
Pa ife nge nguwata reme delopa detune na shiduri kabata alonga alongi wa kumburu. Kwa yate tela nare mengolo.
Yeah.
Omune aforo duka kominga inoyolo lali okana no longi.
Yeah.
Eshimanga kunyokuli manga mu betting okuna Manchester tadana yokuno enda tadiriko shiperendi. Hano, ana doropo tuwa yuneneko meshoni ni mii.
Numba pia tima angena diari wa.
Hae, okuna kochi hata atawa. Paife mango nongo kwanga ni tadana. Hayo kuni mari wa unka yu. Asena lukwapeo ingapi, manga liye lukwapeo edorati ningapi. Weteko, ini mayona otai. Dengesha,
yeah.
Marongi vetu, hata rungu nona me doropa shashi, o hata reki ni ma, ilo hayo pa moniko shikeshikeshiri penya, o iki ni matutara.
Yeah.
Mm.
All right, mukufa moshe mwana shikene na?
Kufa moshe nena tukapopsa, eolo kole veta, kucha, eveta da angoro.
Yeah.
Mbiru ta dianje finini koke veta, ditutoka stoma ilo, do malero pa misu wakaru.
Mm-hmm.
Atuka kala mwana, rasa ruskwezi.
Yeah.
Uri cha, irumbo etu kotokera.
Yeah.
Eve tadi etu ningila, tadi duki fako zero pe na sheke nenandi.
Yeah.
Paife eve tadi pe dikwa idina kwa amene napo, nandiku peke nando malero pansuru wakarone na shita alele nuju.
Mm.
Omisuru wakaru ya dito pola anukumu. Omisuru wakaru kuchomu ningefane na hii, ohamu ufanwa ike, tamufuto kapunjoko, tamuifutile, tamuimu kweteko mapepe, takutina tushudali.
Yeah.
Weteko, yeah. Kale ino mbili.
Mm.
Paife ne iho kolola mumicho ya kufuwa mwaya paru waneke community kota.
Yeah.
Ovale live tovo ne, vye lipo kutokola, iho kola pataradishi, mio milandu, no idhila,
yeah.
Yetu, yoshi wambo,
yeah.
Ohaka duruwa kwa Minister of Justice. Paife otashetano mumbu atopoke po mikunda taditopo kashashi, ngerutuwa ningafana na ituli mumbu kuchope tote kurangopena kuye metapu.
Mm.
Koteko, yeah. Ovetayo papangero, ovetayo tuyo ilumbu, ya itu lanu kumwa kutopole. Ila lakano kuhana una.
So shike nana, genge nenge no tafika pondo dopo tuwete kucha, ovetayo ye pangero taturapo, ita itu kumweno etio pamshuru wakalo. O shike ngo inatu ningangeno kucha, bakwe, tuture nyo vetayo etu pankalo uta itu kumweno ngalo etu itu liongo, onga wambu, onga damaro, onga Namibia.
Eh? Osho pene no osho kujo shiri pene.
Mm.
Kesho mwishite ya kulela, kuna asho ashaina. Ndokulime indiresi tade western.
Yeah.
Osho ashetano, mashongo nukuli uningirbo matilifu. Ashidulikane na mirongo yetu Afrika, muneke military base ato Amerika nova kwao.
Mm.
Otakdi ningishikomu, shota manguluka.
Yeah.
Omuruma fini niku. Ini maneyo tatekulu, inaanga valesha. akwanirwa mbayaripo.
Yeah.
We have purwa koma pangirongi taningevet. Katuna anuwa misuruwa kalone na veri mopari ya mende. Shashewo veri kwa shiwani. Nenoto durukuchu wa daro kana kwa endoko takeke kwetero veta kweke kupangirovo viwangi kapo.
Mm.
Ototinge no nena otate kurukari milongwei. Ndetamu ya new system ahiye yange milongwei opo hili.
Yeah.
Omorwa shikembela kwa liveno mashongo male. Nanuwa kwa itavudafana. Nanuka kwa ivene mungwedi apu. Omorwa shikucha. Oilongo heilerwa. Kombepo.
Yeah.
Noko milandu.
Mm.
Do imenga etuno misuru wakarode etuno milandu jaturongifu.
Yeah.
E kaku onu haiko mesho ya no. Hasheshi uno japuiru ni imari wa. Omikundi ya dile wakane imari wiloka kengeringa shipe vetashi nimba.
Mm.
Omikundo wa dile wakane wa waikatumbo lapu.
Yeah.
Onu adaru wangelo. Anu adaru wababali. Onu adaru etomoguru tete. Onu yaka mbakano wakenjaja. Ilo shiveri.
Yeah.
Vomo kwa ya pewano mumbu etu misuru wakaru. Hatari kane ngeipi. Azimo keshe to dimu kalele nando walilele. O onu halengwa pashito. Yonone omikundo shilongo mangela.
Yeah.
Omikundo dirile poku kwa tila pon kwa nirwa.
Mm.
Onwe nakukara kwa takonje vanomu yao kwa nirwa shasho shilongo manyalo ndilo. Ashi ningwa nenge piti hombolo dimola kwa nirwa. Nengele ulio shidalesha kwa nirwa. Ilo veku hombola. Ove tokala no meshon kwa nirwa kwa tila pwe no msa no misuruwa karo shashi. Ezi moro tarilele nando mondonga ilo mokwanya. Mori na ukarana ndekwa nekambiru kwa nangobi. Una non kwa nilu ataka japo, tashitarika mezi momu. Gengwa mikundo hedi ano unapo mongkaro watu ningi ui mari wa. Uwa mboto urumbuko shipundi. Shashinano utaka chwamba ni uloro. Oliari tekupa telepo.
Mm. Mokutarane pangalo, paku putuka ne peife pangalo pa. Ndisa hatu stale nengkucha o... o Oshirongo shovene,
mm-hmm.
pa ongo, oshirongo shetungo Namibia,
mm-hmm.
na shova nunga Namibia, mm-hmm. na saa pende ngone atuputu, ini yara kucho kuputuka, mm-hmm. atende ngone tuuka komesho, yeah. shikwa tere kucha unyunyoka peni.
Unyunyoka peni.
Ia, yeah. deve tado, detudo shikuruso nale ilo do pafiru rakalo, otadi tukumengovali, nondo do potulie putuko touka.
Andara nikuro mburi,
yeah.
kei makamu. Olio voto ala kutata ya muyuni.
Mm.
Shashi, shotunaku ya no milandu detendeta dudu wako kunyuni. Yeah. Kucho shiwanashi, shino milandu dilinga. Afrika, kuno milandu dae dilinga. Omorwashi kune netu no mafini niko tutatae, eve tata dilingu wako Amerika. Yeah. Yengu watari ilongo, ilongo ya epa. Ndoyo ya tunga. Oinu kengeli.
Mm.
Omari kwetu, omo vani ngile vetu. Ini mekea, shatu karapu ikongo kondaraka kukale kapo. Shatu chatu lele na washiwano shino mbili. Yeah. Maro shiwano tashisonja. Mm. Paife, nga anu tulipuka tudila dila. Oli ya darwele spesi ya liruwa shipele spesi ya loku pangela mkwao. Moi ni maeli mwenjila. Tukalika turufa kungwe.
Hmm.
Oyo nini matuwa punga koto kila kucha. Ngero watale akwa nilwa ya tame kama Afrika. Waya tuki indila mo mbibiri ya tuti. E karunga kaya kupona isakita nikika ipu mbuya chilongu. Roka mandu meande mfayo.
Hmm.
Omorwa shikembele amba detudina kuni ngiruwe chifinena. Ndeta dikufu emilitari. Ngashikwa itu nakwa itaveri muamba. Yeah. Ndeta kukaleka atu ningu iliwe komo ni wetha. Nde kuini Elisabeth atakaro ya likomba daya kwa ita. Yota karo ntivari wae mpapa. Vota karaneve kwe tunyo nitavura mkifangashi vana.
Yeah.
Oshimashi. Natulandule kieve tadiri ngaone.
Yeah. So. So. Ondiku dite.
Yeah.
No ngalo yondiu dite kucha.
Yeah. Yeah.
O ete tatukale mongalo omotulipa ife.
Yeah.
De makutarapa engono omo ilongwe ili. O hape tango hatu durungo kwe teru nduruko mwasho tashitu kumwena shibahara.
Hei ngono diringa. Ngonde kupokati kama toka teyanupu.
Yeah.
Mara ngonde kuputi weba manga ndeba mango kapandito vate yaka.
Yeah.
Wukumwe te utongwe ngono. Umorwa shikembe li tatu duruko wanga nongova Afrika.
Yeah.
Umorwa ki tatu duruko wanga na nilongwe yu ditunuo numu yu.
Mm.
Tuatareko Amerika wata tatu ningini manga shibahara. Shashi hapo piwari yankeke supapo.
Yeah.
Ini mane ilinga ha. Onu keshe umu ilongwe imanguru wako mawayashi tonga. Mandu meande mfa.
Yeah.
Oshi mashino shilonga okumu. Ngele nena tu ime ngundafana na ave wala kuinvestinga mshilongo shangi. Umurashi kanu vangewe na kuni ngila kwa naruepo. Umurashi kendi na umudanu efikorita ditungwa maro toka tunga kushilongo shovo toku famedulangu.
Mm.
Umurashi kembela eve tatita dukuta uru. Oika tu olo lele yangu. Oika tu tungwena pariamenda la ke pariamendi. Hello Mike.
Yeah.
Tatika ningashiki. Okuki denga ikeno kukala tatiko fame pariamendi.
Yeah.
Umurashikita atale lulini mai.
Yeah.
Oyo nini matuara kutalane na kuchi angelo malero eto msuru wakaru itapu ikini wako.
Mm.
Itaduru kukala enewi. Yoshi wana. Ovetia iduru kupangula koni mawanga kumunuga.
Yeah.
Unakulu fakwa shiwanga poveto tungileko. Epangelo latumba na ini. Olatumba ndi esha kufanomu. Eveta tatifini nikota tekulu po kaulu.
Yeah.
Wote omadu batu akufuwe shuwano chato pro mavi umbo. Oshi mango shisho bereni conference.
Yeah.
Shio wambo itepeko. Oshongo shaka dareri jino shongo shaka dareko students. Fione nangi.
Yeah.
Hatpende na tutopora. Shio shetu faile kombatina tuwala anuwa toporo.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Pulikini kia mbinga nembinga. No shio matere na kupuigina neno kudiri na mwakufa mosha. Nga shingwa moditidate naluma ndata popi. Ano... Otaka mengu ndafana na natate Lazarus. Yeah, I know, be, you know, it will be packed. It will be interesting. Make sure that you make sure that you tune in for that. For me, I have taken up some minutes just for to introduce Tate Naluvan for Nakufa Mosha. So let's do this tomorrow again at the same time here on Eagle FM around the same time from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. With me, Mike Oshoveri. And I'm saying goodbye until tomorrow. So Tate Naluvanda will take over.